Father, how we do thank you that we have been bought, we've been purchased, we've been justified. We are in the process of being glorified, but we know, Father, that will not be complete until such day as that rapture takes place and you conform us completely to the image of him who is altogether lovely. Father, we again lift John and Ashley and the family up before you as we think about their service to us, and we pray, Father, that we could be a help and a blessing to them in this time in their lives. And Lord, as we break forth the bread of life this morning, we pray that it would be an encouragement and as a challenge for all of us as we embark upon this new year to become what you would have us to be and to enjoy every day as you give it to us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, if you open your copy of God's Word, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 10. We'll be ready to go in just a moment. But let me ask you, have you ever considered the fact today is the first day of the rest of your life? I know that that's trite and it just sort of trips off of our tongue, but it's true. If you continue to live, today is the first day of the remainder of your life, however long that is. And just as you are changing, times, they are changing as well, and they're changing fast. I don't think any of us can keep up with everything that's going on in the world. We're talking about spiritually, socially, politically, economically, technologically. It's a fast-changing world. There's a sense of urgency, I think, that has blanketed the entire globe as radical changes they have, and they're continuing to take place locally, nationally, and of course, internationally. I look at the world and I see it as nothing but a gigantic cauldron of unrest everywhere that you look. It was not always so. It's almost like peace is being taken from the earth to some degree. But I want to encourage you this morning, we have a peace that nobody can take away from us. And we can enjoy peace when the rest of the world's going through chaos. Our government is partially shut down. Congress is deadlocked. Our country is divided. And our national debt is soaring fast to $22 trillion. Some are planning to build a wall. Others are planning to impeach the president. And they have plans to take a hard left turn toward socialism in 2020. Some have forgotten history. Others never have learned history. But even if our future yields a plethora of unpleasant surprises, I want to ask you a serious question. Is there anything that you or I can do about it? The truth is, there's not a single person here that knows what's coming down the pike in 2019. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I don't even know what this afternoon holds for me. Neither do you. And even if we did, we're equally powerless to do anything about most of what's going to take place. As Bible believers, though, we do know that time is going to continue on. Now, how do we know that? Well, the end of the world's not going to happen at the stroke of midnight tonight. In fact, it can happen for at least 1,007 years, according to my understanding of Scripture, because we have a kingdom to go through, and we have 7 years of tribulation to go through. I'm not going through it. I'm going to be out of here. But the world at large has at least 1,007 years remaining. So since we are going to continue living, what we need to do is begin planning for the new year, whatever it has for all of us. Why? Because the new year is coming, and we can't stop it. We can't go back and relive last year. We can't go back to the year before. We're finally at the point of no return. Again, every second is another point of no return in your life. You can't go back and grab even the last second when we first started this service. There's no turning back. Time is sort of like a river. You ever watch stuff go down river? Just as a river constantly flows, it goes in one direction until it empties into this vast reservoir called the ocean. So time just continues to dump into eternity. All we can do on the journey of life is simply plan every year that the Lord gives us and trying to make those plans line up coincide exactly with what God's will is for our lives. The beginning of every year is very, very important. How a person begins is vital to every area of our lives. If a person is to begin his education, I think it helps to get a good education, a sound education, a profitable education. If you're building a building, you need a good beginning. You need a solid, proper foundation. When a person begins a marriage, it helps to have the right kind of beginning. And from the very beginning of marriage, start as a Christian marriage. Start it as a Christian home. And so too, as we begin this new year, it's very, very important that you begin with the right perspective in life, with the right attitude, because I'll guarantee you it's going to affect everything else to come for the rest of the year. So our goal this morning is to help us understand how to begin to plan for next year as Christ gives it to us. It's a year of the Lord, it's by the Lord, and if you're a Christian, it's for the Lord. And if the Lord tarries, I believe with all of my heart, He has many, many wonderful things in store for every single one of us. We're much like the children of Israel as they stood on the bank of the Jordan and they looked out over across that Jordan into a brand new land called the Promised Land. The land that God had given to them. Joshua told them, "You have not passed this way before." And you and I are staring straight into the face of a year through which we have not passed. But we will pass through it if the Lord tarries, unless He calls us home. It's going to have new experiences. There are going to be all kinds of new blessings that He has in store for us. And they can only be experienced one time. Every single moment of life counts. We need to be careful with the words that we speak. You can't gather them back. They're like feathers thrown to the wind. They're out, they're out. Let's begin planning for the new year by reading Deuteronomy 11, 10 and through 12. And let's see what we can learn from this story written for our learning and for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. The Bible says, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and it drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it." And notice this, "from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year." Most of you know Israel was about to enter in and claim the Promised Land. They were about to cross over into unclaimed territory and take possession of it from the hand of the Lord. And this picture of Canaan is also a picture of unclaimed territory and unclaimed blessings and the unclaimed time that God has given to every single one of us. Canaan, the Promised Land, is not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the blessings that God has for His people in this world. And so we make the parallel, the comparison, as we go through this passage. We are standing on the brink of a brand new year. It's the point of no return. We've got to move forward. Had the Israelites turned back, you know what they would have found? They would have found 38 years of defeat and discouragement. But before them, there lay a bright new opportunity. They had to make a choice. They can't go back. They could just stand where they were and be motionless. Or they could follow God's leading. And they could make forward progress in God's blessings in their lives. And there lies before each of us a bright new opportunity of a new year. Whatever happened in the previous year, it's over. It's past. We cannot reclaim it. We cannot repossess it. We cannot retrace it. We have already experienced that moment, and it is gone forever. You might have memories of yesteryear, and you might even try to live in yesteryear, but boy, will you ever be a bore and a problem for other people around you. But God's given to us a brand new year, and He wants us to enjoy every single day of life that He gives to us. The tragedy, I think, is some of us could walk through this next year and never really possess it the way that God wants us to possess it. Many people are going to do exactly that. Many will walk through a marriage and they never possess the special blessing that God intended for their marriage to have. Many will miss all that God had in store for them. They're going to spend their year in marriage fighting and fussing and fuming and, you know, just going at one another's throat and mad. And it's not going to gain anything for them. How much better if we just employ the principles of God's word and live the way that He wants us to live and enjoy one another, enjoy our family, enjoy what He's given to us. What a tragedy it is when people miss that which God wants to give them and God wants them to possess. You remember a man by the name of Abraham? God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham was called to go to that Canaan land. And you remember what he did? He walked right through Canaan land and didn't stop. He kept going and ended up down in Egypt. And he missed all of it. He missed everything God had for him. And you know what? That can happen to us. We can be so busy doing our own thing and looking for our own purposes and directions in life. And if we're not careful, we will not possess and we will not claim what God has for us. I want to share with you some pointers on how we can all gain what God has planned for us in this coming year. And if you have a pencil, you might want to write these down. First of all, plan for God's provision in your life. And let me emphasize it by putting the emphasis upon a different word. Plan for God's provision in your life. We're ever so busy trying to make provision for ourselves. And we never think about God busy behind the scenes in our life and trying to do what He wants to do for us. But if we're going to maximize this coming year, what do we have to do? Well, this passage of Scripture teaches us, number one, we have to have a desire for God's provisions. We must have an intense, consuming desire for that which God has intended for us. We need to want God's best. You see, it was not the will of God for Israel to continue to dwell in the wilderness. They wandered for 40 years in that wilderness. There were bleached bones all over that desert of people who died from the previous generation who never claimed God's blessings in their lives. It was God's will for them to dwell in the promised land. And I want to say to you that it's God's will for your life to have His best in your life as well. I don't know how many days we'll get to live in this coming year. I hope it's 365 and a third or whatever, fourth or whatever it is in a year. But I want to say this to you. It is God's will for your life to live the best. Jesus died and rose again that you and I might be all that we could be, that God saved us to be. And I hope that you come to the place in your Christian life where you have said, I am not personally going to be satisfied with anything less than what God has for me in the form of a Spirit-filled, abundant life that Christ has for me that I could live for Him. I want God's best for my life. I want God's best for my family. I want God's best for my church. Because if you don't desire God's best, guess what? You'll certainly never get God's best. And the very first step to possessing the new year is to desire in every moment of the new year to be everything that God wants you to be. I don't know where the idea came from that, unless it's from the devil, that Christians are not supposed to be successful or happy in life. But that does not coincide with what the teaching of the Word of God has to say. The Word of God teaches us God wants you to be all that you can possibly be in the business world, in your home, in your Sunday school class, in your neighborhood, in your church, in every area of your life. Personally, I desire to be a better preacher. I desire to be a better Christian. I desire to be the best husband I can be. I desire to be the best father I can be. I want to be a fabulous grandfather and grandmother, right? I think about what God has. That's what God wants from every single one of us as his children. He wants the best. Jesus said that God works in your life on the basis of your desire. Now, I want you to think about it. What do you really desire? Blessed are they, he said, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They're hungry for, they desire, they want more than anything else, hunger after righteousness and to be filled with the fullness of God. No one will ever attain what they don't have a desire for, a hunger for, or a thirst to attain. You won't become a doctor. You won't become a lawyer. You won't become an engineer. You won't become a carpenter, a scientist, even a sanitation engineer if you don't have a desire in your heart to accomplish the goal that you feel God has before you. And you'll have to pay the price for it, whatever it is. It might not be easy. It might not always be fun. Ask any small business person what it takes to build a business, and they will tell you that if they want success, they want to have one more than anything else, and they have to be willing to sacrifice personally to get it. I used to listen to guys in my dad's shop. Oh, I'm not sure I could be over there in the office and kick my feet up on the desk and drink coffee and talk on the telephone all day. I thought, buddy, you don't know and what in the world you're talking about. You don't sit up half the night wondering and planning and thinking how you're going to make payroll, how you're going to be able to get more orders, how you're going to take care of everything that has to be taken care of with the government to be able to run a business. You don't know the beginning of the sacrifice that takes place in anybody's life who wants to be a success. God wants his best for your life, and the first key to attaining God's best is to plan for God's provision to get you there. And God will provide for everything that you need to get you to the point of success. The second key when it comes to planning for this year to come is plan on depending on God's promises. We not only must desire God's provision, but the Bible says we've got to depend upon God's promises. Because I'll guarantee you, what God's going to ask you to do, you cannot do by yourself. It's impossible. God always stretches us. God always asks us to do more than we know that we're capable of doing. But God says, don't fear, because I'm going to help you. It's my will for your life, and I will help you to accomplish that will. Let me tell you something. Did you know that everything you need for this coming year, God has already supplied for it in your life? I'm talking about next December 31st. Clear that far out. God's already made provision. Did you know that? Did you know that the Christian life is not a matter of trying to earn something that God will one day give to you? I think that's the way a lot of Christians live their life. They think, well, God saved me, and the next thing is the great big home in the sky, but right now I just got to work it out here on this earth, and I've got to battle and slave and fight. No. God came to live in you, and God's going to help you to live every single day of your life. It's a matter of, by faith, enjoying what God has and already has given to you. Do you know that the Bible says that God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing, everything that's ever needed? He's caused us to already sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can see life through a different set of lenses. You can see it from above, not just from below. And boy, there's an advantage from having the high ground. Did you know that in this very moment, God has already given to you every spiritual blessing? He wants to bestow it upon you. And by faith, all you need to do is depend upon God's promises and begin to live in victory. Do you know that the Israelites had the promises of God before they ever got to the promised land? God said it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I've already prepared it for you. If I had those pagans take up all the stumps out of the fields, I've had them clear it all. I've had them build barns. I've had them build houses, and it's all yours. I'm giving it all to you. I promise it to you. God told them, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I already given to you. All they had to do was just move in, depend upon the promises of God, claim the promise of God, and begin to enjoy that which God had given to them. Now, was it going to be simple? Was it going to be easy? No, they were going to encounter all kinds of problems. They were going to get all kinds of battles. They were going to come up a place called Ai, and that's where they would get whipped for the first time. They went around Jericho, marched around it, 7 days, 7 times on the 7th day, blew their trumpets, made a shout, and the walls fell down. How'd that happen? God knocked them down. They tell us, archaeologists do, that the walls fell outward. They didn't push the walls in. They just fell out. How'd that happen? God did it. And God gave them that great victory. And they thought, well, this little place called Ai, there's nothing to that. We can do that on our own. So they sent a little army group up there, and they got beaten badly. They learned to depend upon God and trust God and trust in his promises. The Bible says God has already given us wisdom. He's already given us power. He's already given us strength. He's already provided every single need that we ever have. It's just a matter of you and I marching forth by faith, day by day, moment by moment of every day. And so if he has provided it, all we've got to do is believe it and receive it and begin to rejoice in it, right? That is claiming the new year. That is possessing our possessions. That is depending upon what God said in his word. You see, our needs are not necessarily our wants. And I think what most of us go through life doing is trying to satisfy our wants and praying for our wants. But we just need to rest and enjoy our needs that he provides for us. Do you remember a man by the name of Caleb? His name means dog. But Caleb had a promise from God. God gave unto Caleb a mountain, the mountain of Hebron. And guess who dwelt up there in those mountains? The big bad guys. And one day Caleb came to Joshua, and he was an old man. And he said, God's promised me this mountain of Hebron. I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. And you know what God gave to him? God gave him that mountain. Planning the new year means you got to depend upon the leadership of God and where God wants you to go and what God wants you to do, and plan on him providing through his promises. Number three, plan on delighting in God's continual abiding presence. I'm so glad he tells us in the New Testament, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Some of you have gone through some pretty deep, dark valleys just recently. But you know what? You look around and God was always there. God took you by the hand. God made provisions. God surrounded you with people. God took care. Not only do you have to have a desire for God's provision and dependence upon his promises, you have to determine, I am going to delight in God's presence. Because you see, God is of the present tense. It's not the God of the past. He's not just the God of the future. He's the God of the here and now. And he's with us continually. We're never out of his sight. You know, sometimes we can lose track of our children. If any of you listen to Focus on the Family this past week, they had a man on there that told a heart-rending story about taking his family camping, and his little old 3-year-old daughter got where she wanted to go and help him gather firewood. And he knew that she couldn't carry the logs back, so he gave her a branch or a twig and said, here, take this back to your grandma. And she started back to the base camp. And they very hurriedly, when they saw her going that direction, took off up the rest of the mountain. And that was the last they saw of her. And they searched frantically. They were panicking. They were yelling. They were screaming. They ran into a ranger, and the ranger pulled out his radio and radioed for a search team to come out. They started 1 mile above the base camp because they said kids never go uphill. They always take the path of least resistance. They always go downhill. And all he could think of was she's in the river. So he went to the river and searched. He said, well, maybe she got in the swamp. He went in the swamp. He was so exhausted. His voice was tired, given out. He said, I fell down in knee-deep water and mud, and I couldn't even get up. I was just so exhausted. And all I could think of was, oh, God, let it be me. Let me die, but save that little girl. He finally got up, and the camp, everybody was sweeping the entire mountainside. They found nothing of her. But down the road, a little ways, was a husband and wife who were coming up the side of the mountain, and they found a little blonde-headed girl sitting on a rock. And they said, honey, are you lost? Are you okay? She said, yes. She said, don't come near me. Don't touch me. And the woman said, well, I'm a teacher. She said, okay, come on. So that tells you how much teachers are worth in little kids' eyes. But she says, are you lost? And she said, no, but my grandpa is. And they finally got her back home again. You know what? God knew where she was all the time. And God had some people coming up that hillside to be able to rescue her. God knows where you are 24 hours a day. He doesn't sleep. He never slumbers. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're dealing with. He is the God of today. He's the God of tomorrow. But most importantly, he's the God of right now. Do you know why some people missed last year? They walked through it and they never really experienced what God wanted them to experience. And they never possessed what God wanted them to possess. They never even acknowledged God in their life. Sometimes we get up and we say, good morning, Lord. Well, sorry, I got to be off. See you later. And they walk off and leave him. Instead of saying, come on with me. Come before me. Stay with me. Watch behind me. Guard me. Provide for me. Help me recognize your presence. Help me be sensitive to your leadership. Why do people leave him behind? Because they're so busy living either in the past or tied up in the present and worried about the future that they forget completely about God. Here they are. They're always talking about the good old days. They lived in the past. They rehearsed over and over to anyone who would listen how wonderful it was at First Church of Ancient Memories when they worked and God moved. Man, those were the glory days of yesteryear. Where's God now? God wants to work just as much now as he ever has. He's just hunting people that are willing to get up and do something about it. But for some strange reason, they're never connected that the God of the past is still the God of the presence. They fail to remember that the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice therein. Many people are all tied up about what happened yesterday, what someone said yesterday, what happened yesterday, or they're concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow, and they don't know how they're going to make the deadlines, and they don't know how they're going to pay the bills, and they don't know how they're going to get the job done. They don't know how, and the Apostle Paul said, forgetting all of those things which are behind, and reaching forth for the things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. God is telling us through the Apostle Paul that this is the day that the Lord hath made. It won't do any of us any good to dwell in the past. Just learn your lessons from it, but live in it too. No, don't do that. On the opposite end of the spectrum are those who don't live in the past, but they're petrified of the future. They're scared to death. They're afraid the boogeyman's going to take over here pretty soon, and we're going to lose everything that we have here in America. Well, if we do, God's still going to be with us because he's promised, I will never what? I'll never leave you, and he's promised I'll never forsake you. You know, it could all be on over by the polecats in the days ahead. I'm not going to talk about Democrats or Republicans, but who knows what's going to happen? It's not guaranteed for any of us. But if you try to live all of next year in the next few days, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a nervous breakdown. You won't be able to bear the pressure. The key to tomorrow is living one day at a time today. You can't make it to tomorrow till you pass through today. And to go through today, you've got to do some serious thinking. But so many people today seem to be convinced that anxiety, and worry, that's going to produce fruitful results tomorrow. If I just worry about it more, it'll help. Somehow they think that they have to help God out by worrying about, what if this were to happen? And they make all the provisionals for that what if, or what if that were to take place, or what if this took place, or what if that happened? They don't seem to understand that worry does not take the sorrow out of tomorrow. It only takes the joy out of today. You're just robbing yourself. Jesus said, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about what you will eat and what you will drink and what you will put on or wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of those things. He's already made provision. Well, it might not be the latest style that I want to wear. Well, poor you. It might not be what I like. It might be broccoli. It's healthy for you. God gave it to you. Eat it. Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That means that God knows we're going to have some burdens. We're going to have some bad days ahead. God knows that we're going to have some blessings, and he's going to balance those blessings and the burdens. And the blessings, and he's going to give us the strength we need for the living. God is going to provide one moment, one second at a time. And that is why in Deuteronomy 33:25 he said, as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. God's going to give you enough strength as you need it. You don't know what's going to happen. God's going to supply the strength that we need. So live in God's presence. Live now. Live this very moment. Live in today. The poet put it this way. I have only a minute. Just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me. I can't refuse it. And it's mine how I use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute. But eternity is in it. And once it is past forever. So live it now. There are some things we cannot do with time. We cannot save time. We cannot borrow time. We cannot give time. We cannot leave time. We cannot take time. The only thing you can do with time is to use every second of it that you have for the glory of God. The Bible puts it this way. Redeem the time. That word redeem means to buy up. Now you buy that which is precious. Buy up the time because every moment of it is precious. And every moment is a gift from God. And every moment counts. Someone comes up to you and says, I want to argue with you. You say, I don't have time for that. That's just a waste of time. I refuse to get mad. I'm going to stay glad. I refuse to get angry. I'm going to stay happy. You know, when they have football games, they can call timeout. And what happens? The clock stops. But the clock of time, it never stops. You can say time out, but the clock keeps ticking. It never stops. Every moment has to be taken advantage of and lived to its fullest. And if you don't, you're wasting time. So delight in God's presence. Delight in what God is doing. Delight in his presence in your life every day. And fourthly, in planning for the upcoming year, plan on discovering God's power in your life. Plan on discovering God's power in your life. Look at verse 11. We find an interesting statement about the promised land. And remember, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the abundant Christian life in the spiritual arena. And notice what he says. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of what? Hills and valleys. hills and valleys. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? Oh man, you are just so ecstatic. There's nothing like it. You wish, you know, like Moses and the apostles staying on the top of the mountain with Jesus. Hey, the Lord is so good to be here. Let's just stay here. Let's build tabernacles and just camp out here for a while. But you know what? Sooner or later, you got to come down off of the mountain. Did you know what's on the other side of the mountaintop? There's a valley. I am not going to tell you this morning that next year is going to be all roses for you. I'm not going to say that there are not going to be any problems, any trials, any disappointments, any burdens. In fact, the Bible says there will be some in your life. There are going to be mountains and there are going to be valleys. So if you think that the Christian life is all on one level plateau, and once you reach Christianity, it is smooth sailing from there on, that's not so. You cannot say there will never be any difficulties, never any ups and downs, never any problems, never any heartaches, never any burdens. You are going to have difficulty in the coming year, and I promise you that. Why? Because there are going to be hills and there are going to be valleys. And everybody knows it's a geographical fact as well as a spiritual fact. It takes two valleys to make one mountaintop. Oh, that's a hard one to swallow. I'd rather think there are two mountaintops and a valley in between them. But don't be amazed if the downs in your life periodically seem to outnumber your ups in life. And you might think, life stinks. This is the pits. Life is a land of hills and valleys. But he went on to say that it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot. It, the land that you're going to, is watered of the God of heaven. Oh, what's he saying? He's saying this new year is going to have some mountaintop experiences. It's going to have some heartaches. It's going to have some valleys in those experiences. But he says, God is going to supply your needs. He is going to water the mountaintops as well as the valleys. You just need to trust in God's power. He said, it's not like Egypt. That's where you watered your crops with your foot. That's a reference to irrigation. They would take the Nile River and they would dig these channels. And it's not easy digging, is it? And you're digging a little channel out there and you're going to redirect. When the river gets so high, the waters will spread out down those channels and it will water the plants. But the Bible says life is not like that. The Bible says the Christian life is not an experience where you arrange everything, where you figure out and you engineer everything, where everything is dependent upon what you do. The Christian life is a life that is watered by the God of heaven. He is the one who makes the channels in your life. He is the one who points you in the right direction. And the God of heaven waters both the mountains and the valleys. And his power is realized on the mountaintop, and his power is realized in the valleys. He will be there to comfort you and to, on the mountaintop, to rejoice with you. And wherever you go, you will discover the power of God. You will discover that the one who dwells in you is sufficient to meet every single need that you're ever going to face this coming year. I don't know about the valleys that you're going to face. I don't know what's going to happen in your life. I don't know what's going to happen in my own life. You may get a bad report from the doctor. I just want to get a report from a doctor. You may lose someone who is very dear to your heart. It may be that you become ill. It could be, and I hope not, but you might go through financial reversal this next year. But be assured of this. I don't care if it's on a mountaintop or if it's in a valley. You look around and you're going to find God there. And God promises he'll water you. He will take care of you. He'll water you on the mountaintop. He'll water you down in the valley. Now, what is water symbolic of in the Bible? Well, it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, Jesus said this, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Never, ever forget that there within you is someone who is a source of your joy. There is within you someone who is the source of your strength, someone who is the source of your power, someone who is the source of your inspiration, someone who is the source of your motivation. So you don't have to drum up your own strength. You don't have to depend upon your own power. He is with you on the mountain. He is with you in the valley. He is the source of your strength. And finally, after planning this new year on delving into God's provision, depending upon God's promises and delighting in God's presence and discovering God's power, you need to discern God's providence. Look at verse 12 and we'll be finished. It describes the land from God's perspective. This is how God sees life, not how you and I see it. He says that it is a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. What's he saying? The eyes of the Lord are always upon it. Not sometimes, not when things are going well. God's eyes are always upon your life. In other words, when the children of Israel moved into the promised land, God said, my eyes are going to be on you in everything that you do. He promised, I'll protect you from behind. I will go before you and fight your battles for you. All you have to do is just listen to my word and do what I tell you to do. I'll be constantly watching over you. And he doesn't mean watching them in the sense of judgment. I am watching you. That's not it. He's talking about watching them in a sense of caring for them. It's a land in which thy Lord, thy God, careth for. And he said, every moment during that year, I am going to be watching over you. I will be overshadowing you. I will be caring for you. And if you belong to God, if you are his precious possession, if you are a part of the body of Christ, if you have given your life to him, then you are his. And that means God's watching over you. God is providing for you. God is caring for you. And he's going to do it from the beginning of this year to the end of this year. And at the end of this year, guess what else he's going to do? He's going to start all over in the year to come if he gives us another year. Folks, that's the hand of God in your life. That is the working of the Holy Spirit in your life daily. You see, God is interested in everything that we do. He's interested in every single moment. There's not a word that passes through your lips that he's not aware of. There's not a thought that goes through your mind that he doesn't know. He's a mind reader. God's interested in everything. Now, if I don't accomplish anything else this morning, I hope to convince you, you are vitally important to God. So much so, he gives you his undivided attention. You say, well, he can't watch over all of us. Yes, he can. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. And you say, well, he surely can't have enough power for all of us. Yes, he can, because he's omnipotent. He wants to watch over you. His eyes are upon everything you do. He knows every need you have, every hurt that you're going to experience, every single thought that comes out of your mind. God cares. The Bible says his eye is upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. We should be singing, why do I feel discouraged? Why should I feel so blue? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye's on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. So as we head to this new year filled with uncertainties, don't fear and don't fret. Though our world is increasingly more menacing and dangerous, though our politicians are more and more perplexed as well as perplexing, we don't need to be afraid. Begin this year planning on delving into God's provision, depending on God's promises, delighting in God's presence, discovering God's power every single day, and discerning God's providence every step of the way. And here's what you will reap. You will reap the peace of God that passes all understanding, that will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your promises of assurance. Oh God, we can't even begin to imagine. We need our sleep. These bodies need it to be able to have cellular regeneration and for healing. We need that rest to be carry on. But Father, we marvel. You're a God who never sleeps and never slumbers. We claim that we have love, but I don't think we can even scratch the surface of what true love is. We read through scriptures and we read of your unfathomable love for us. And Father, we want to thank you for it. We want to thank you today for these passages that we looked at this morning that give us a hope for the days ahead, assurance, reassurance, and a peace and a calm that we cannot even begin to hope to come by ourselves. I don't know what people are struggling with here today. It could be health issues. It could be family issues. It could be job issues, financial issues. It could be issues with their children, their grandchildren. I don't know, Father, but we know that you're well aware. And help them, Father, to be able to come to grips with the fact that you want to help them and you want to strengthen them. Help all of us determine that moment by moment, day by day, we, Father, will put you first and we'll keep you in our thoughts. And our prayers will be sent up to you on a continual basis. Thank you ahead of time for hearing and answering and giving us, Father, the victory in our life day by day. And we love you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Shall we stand?
You've been listening to the Worship Hour on KSGL, sponsored by Crossroads Baptist Church, 11441 East Central in Wichita. For more information about Crossroads, you can reach them at 204-3024 or online at cbcks.church. That's cbcks.church. Tune in next week at 9 a.m. for The Worship Hour.